is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Coming to you live this Saturday morning, April 11th. Good morning, Jason. We'll probably have some more guests on this morning, but we'll start it out this morning. Beautiful sunrise today. Got some cold weather coming in. It is still springtime. We've been in the 50s and 60s, but a little snow and rain coming in. It's still springtime, but praise God, it's in His order. We'll have the phone lines open this morning. Lots going on, and so we'll be glad to take your call. Well, Jason, you want to open us up in prayer before we get going?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in all that we do and all that goes out over the airways today. Father, we come before you and we humble ourselves and we just ask you to forgive us of our sins, known and unknown. Ask that you guide us and direct us in all that we do. Father, we pray, Father, from the remnant across this land, and we know that we are living in different, perilous times, Father, and we just cry out to you to save us and to give us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we need to have. And Father, we pray, Father, for you just to be there guiding our decisions that are before us. And Father, keep our wives and our children and our family and our loved ones safe, Father. And we pray, Father, protection, and that protection of Psalms 91 over each and every one of them, and ask, Father, that you keep them safe and that you tend to their needs and that you activate our immune systems and that you keep us safe of this, of any and all afflictions that are out there, Father. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. And be glad to take your call if you want to share a comment. Had a scripture verse. We've, with Passover just passing and the makeup day coming up May 1st, we tried to remind everyone of Isaiah 26, 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. hide for a little while, until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. Now that's there in the middle of Isaiah, but it does tie in with, of course, with Exodus 12, the first Passover. And then you can read about the Passover makeup day in Numbers 9. And we encourage you, Remnant, to do that. These are Bible stories. This is an everlasting ordinance that you do need to be familiar with. And so we hope that you are. You know, right here in Isaiah 26, the last part of verse 9, I think it aptly describes what is happening and what should happen when we read his word. It says, "For when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness." We hope that that's going on. That because the earth is experiencing the judgments of God, from fires to locusts to extreme weather on both ends of the spectrum. And so there are some that see that for what it is and learn righteousness. Nope, not all. The next verse, verse 10, contrasts that. It says, "Though the wicked is shown favor, he does not learn righteousness." So, if you're not learning righteousness in these days of judgment, well, you need to turn things around. You need to ask for wisdom and discernment in with what is going on.
Yeah, it's there's definitely a lot of stuff going on. One of the things that I'm realizing is we just don't know what's going on. They talk about this hospital up in Washington D.C. that had to set up this extra tent mobile command center, basically. I don't know what they call it, but it is supposed to be able to put another 300 people in there. Yesterday they took it down, because there was nobody in it and they needed to move it somewhere else. And you're hearing that just all over the place. Marlon sent in an article to me, and it was talking about that there was since the hospitals have been shut down and this thing has started, there's 15% less deaths in the United States than there was before the virus hit. So I mean that really puts a lot of things into perspective. And it's been yesterday I made a point of going down and driving by several hospitals and just to see how packed they were, because I didn't personally see it, but I did see picture, or I did hear, talk to several people that had seen it on the news, hospitals that were local, and they were talking about the same thing about adding on to the hospitals and having to put in these tents and so that they could add another 30 patients or another 60 patients because they were at full capacity. And you go down there and these hospitals are look almost like a ghost town. There's hardly anybody at them. I mean, the downtown hospital was definitely a ghost town. The one that's on the south end of town were just about as bad. There was huge parts of it that were shut down. I talked to one person, and they knew somebody that had it, ended up going to the hospital due to a broken arm this last week. And when they got to the hospital, they wouldn't let anybody in except for the patient, that got treated for a broken arm. But they said that it was just, there was nobody else there. So there's definitely a lot of things going on. I just got a series of videos this morning that gentleman sent in, and I appreciate you sending those. There was three videos, and this came in from Derek. Thanks a lot, Derek, for the videos. But he was talking with nurses that are basically, they're coming out and they're starting to be whistleblowers, and they're saying, hey, this thing is not what it seems to be. And the hospitals are not as bad as they're making it out to be, but it goes into a lot of details, and one thing that's interesting is the hospitals get paid, it looks like, about three times as much if they classify a person as a patient of having COVID-19. The price goes up per their hospital stay. Insurance companies are paying more for it. They're getting hazardous pay, but it looks like it's about between three and five times as much as they normally get for, you know, normally hospitalization of somebody. So they're classifying everything as COVID-19. The other thing that was interesting is they said that they're basically using COVID-19 as a mass, is a mass basically cause of death. If anybody dies from a cold, from the flu, from pneumonia, from anything along those lines, they're saying it, classifying it as COVID-19, and then they're getting more money for that as well. So there's a lot of things that are coming out. There's some whistleblowers that are coming out. And I think, you know, that we do need to continue to pray for our nurses and some of those that are our people that are in those positions, that are in those job situations. But there's a lot of them that are coming out, and you know, we just gotta pay attention to what's going on.
Amen. Amen. And we're printing the newsletter. Had a chance while we were doing that to watch the president's, you know, they do, I guess it's daily. I didn't know they were doing it daily, but had little news report, you know, a message from the White House answering questions from reporters, and with the doctors and the Surgeon General and all the people there. And it's interesting, and I would encourage you folks to, if you have a chance, if you have to do it in the evening, and go back and watch the you know, the archive, the reruns, whatever you want to call it, go back and look it up and watch them. And not just take what you read in the newspaper, because you're seeing two different things. You're seeing one thing being reported, and then, like you're saying, Jason, the people that are on the ground are saying something different. And there was a reporter asked the president, very hostile. Well, Mr. President, how do you say that things are better when we have it's reported we have no PPE, the frontline people, they have no beds and no masks and gloves and no room and no ventilators and respirators to help these people. And the president said, whoa, wait a minute, stop right there. No, he said, you are wrong. He said, we have these things. We have so many ventilators that we haven't needed all that we have, and we're actually able to send some to other countries. And he said, now there's been some shortages in areas, but we're moving those around and taking care of those things. And and it just is, it is that fake news is coming out, that what is reported is not what's happening. And I think that's just, I'm glad you hit on that, Jason, because we are seeing that. Heard of a hospital in Oklahoma that had completely closed down except for the ER, and it was because the ER was empty, that they didn't have this mass input of these respiratory problems with this so-called COVID Chinese virus, whatever it is, and not just in Oklahoma. I've heard, had a friend tell me yesterday that, and he deals with CNAs and home health care and the hospitals and whatnot, and he said they're at calling, asking him for prayer because they're getting laid off. And so it is not near the apocalypse that some of the reports are coming out of, especially the reports you see. And it's interesting, you see where the problems are: Detroit, Chicago, New York, and California are where it seems to be the biggest yelling, screaming, you know, fake news is coming from. What was the old cowboy saying?
Yeah.
About it ain't what we don't know ain't so, it's just, or that's what it is, it's what we know that just ain't so, and
yeah.
what's being reported just ain't so. Well, we've had some more guests come on. Good morning. Sounded like it anyway.
Hello?
Yeah, good morning. Are you there? Sounded like we had. Maybe we're having some phone problems. But the remnant, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. If you'd like to call, if you have a comment or a question, and we'll do our best to get it answered. And but I did. I thought, I hope that you had a chance. Yeah, can you hear me, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we had somebody call in. Hey, oh. Zach, how are you?
Good. Sorry about that. For some reason, I dropped you guys earlier, so I wasn't trying to hang up.
Sure thing. Good morning, Zach. How are you doing?
Good. It's a nice, bright, sunny day here in Michigan, and yeah, things are going good as far as the family is.
Well, good, good.
So what do you see going on in the in Michigan?
Well, I don't know. I had a whole week. I talked to my representative here. The governor did a big press conference. My business is shut down, so I could go on three different directions. But I think I'm going to choose the governor's direction based on kind of what you guys were talking about this morning earlier. And I don't want to. I want to sound all doom and gloom, and I guess I don't know, but you know, this COVID-19, I think it is a real deal. I do think some people are very susceptible to pretty hardcore damage or even possibly death about this. Do I think all the numbers are skewed and all that? Yeah. What our governor did here is she completely shut down the state. And a lot of companies aren't working. I'm not working. The concrete company that I used to work for, they're not working. It's going to be 5 weeks of taking zeros, not making any money. And it costs a lot to operate. So I don't know how all that stuff's going to shake out. But one of the things that the governor here in Michigan said, and she specifically targeted lawn and garden stores to not be open, that they were a non-essential business, and which I think is just absolutely outrageous, because you have a lot of people. I personally think that this whole thing is more of an economic attack on the people. Now, do they deserve it? Yeah, probably. It just shows how much repenting the people need to do to have God step in on this. But, you know, you have a lot of people that are going to be suffering financially very badly. And what you're going to see happening is now these people have to make decisions. How are they going to feed their family long term? Because they could just keep this thing going for 3-4 months with nobody working. And now they got to make decisions. How are they going to survive? Now all of a sudden, the luxuries that were a necessity are no longer a necessity. And people are going to find out really what a necessity is. And like, I have people calling me about vegetable plants nonstop. And according to the governor, I'm non-essential. And people that plant gardens and that type of thing, they do look long-term. They're looking, you know, a year in advance of how they're going to provide their own food. And, man, people are up in arms about that one there.
Zach, I think that, you know, I think this is going to kind of tie into what we're going to be talking about in church in a couple of weeks, too. Just on, yep. You know, it's the farmers, and it's going to be the gardeners and the people that are going to be. I mean, that is that is the ultimate survival, is being able to grow your own food, produce your own food, have better healthy crops, have better healthy gardens. And you know, It's to me, that is, you know, for a governor to come out and say that that's a non-essential, that is just, that is the most essential, is to have these people getting their stuff. That's what people need to be doing, is getting, putting their gardens in. You know, especially when you have other governors that are coming out saying, we're going to have a major food shortage in 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing of it is, when people start growing their own food, they become healthier. And like what you were saying earlier, now all of a sudden you're going to be taken away from the insurance company.
You know what else they become? They become independent.
And they become free thinking. And they become, now all of a sudden they're going to be putting seeds in the ground, and they're really going to be relying on God to, you know, because how does the Bible say the farmer puts the seed in the ground and he has faith that he's going to have a harvest? You know, he's believing in that system that God set up, that there's going to be produce in 90 to 120 days. I actually think all of this is a great wake-up call for not only the United States, but the world, to like, who's really in charge here? Is it governments or is it God? And, you know, this could be, you know, the world system, the Babylonian system, you know, putting their neck in the noose too. And they're just fighting tooth and nail to bring as many people down with them as they can. I simply don't know. That's simply a speculation.
Well, and I talked to somebody yesterday, and they were talking about this, you know, this bailout stimulus package, whatever. I mean, you know, the thing is we know from having that thing written basically overnight to being 1,300 pages long, 1,600 pages long. I mean, the thing is nobody read it. Nobody was able to get through that whole thing and read everything that was part of that. But I did hear several things that were supposedly in that, and I'm going by hearsay, so don't take it as gospel. But one of the things that I've heard from several people actually is that in that there is a thing to take control and to provide food for the low income people. And so basically it's going to be a food program, which it was interesting because I was talking with a lady that migrated here and from a communist country, and she said that this whole thing and everything that she's seen reminds her of leaving a communist country. And she said that, you know, when this whole thing started, she said it started with shortages of this, runs on the stores, runs on toilet paper, runs on paper goods, runs on milk products, runs on cheese. And by the end of it, we were in complete communism, and is what we ended up having was we had coupons for one person for a week, and you could show up at the grocery store and you could get a week's worth of cheese, a week's worth of for every coupon that you had. And she was just, she was scared, and she was nervous because she's like, I've been through this. And she said, I've seen a lot of people starve to death, and I've seen a lot of people die. And I thought a lot about that and taking that in light to, that's what Colonel Jack Moore, when he was over in communist countries overseas, that's what he saw. And he made God a promise that if he got back here, he was going to spend the rest of his life warning people about the dangers of communism. And so it's, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, we just got to, you know, keep our guard up.
Amen. Amen.
I couldn't.
Let's, hey guys, let's.
More, Jason. Go ahead.
We've got a caller. Let's take a quick phone call here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with
Hello.
The Wranglers. Good morning.
Hello. Hang on for a second. I got my phone and the internet tied up here. You were talking about, gardening.
Yes.
And such. There are many places in the, lower 48, that can garden year-round, but for those of us up here in the north, I mean, we had snow, pretty brisk temperatures here the last 48 hours, and it was snowing most of the day tomorrow. But the sun's out now, and for about 5 weeks now, I've been harvesting the leaves off of the weeds that are popping through the grass. And I just want to let people know, those that are listening, that you can, I mean, the wealth of information, especially on the web, with regard to harvesting wild edibles, is, frankly, it's huge. And the nutrition of these young leafy green vegetables is, it far surpasses anything, for the most part, there are exceptions, but anything that you can grow in the garden, these things blow them right away. And later on in the season, when the flowers start popping up, there are many flowers that you can use for various things as well. Fresh salads, and I mean, I can go out right now, and in 5 minutes' time, I can harvest a couple of fistfuls of green leafy vegetables and come in here and make a nice broth and down that in addition to the green matter. So that is an extremely viable avenue for nutrition for your family.
Amen, Joe. I'm glad you brought that up, because the thought occurred to me that, you know, God provides. Now, it may not be what you're used to. It may not be what you're used to, but God provides. And in this country, we have, you read the Song of Moses, and it says, "And Jeshurun," which is Joshua, which is a reference to his people, "grew fat and kicked." And that's what we've done. We've grown fat and happy, you might say. Not that everybody's happy, but fat and lazy. But God does provide. He really does. Joe, thank you so much for the call. God bless, brother. Zach, we'll go back to you. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I was just thinking about what you said there. You know, is, I guess, back to the gardening, one of the things that people might want to think of is they can buy heirloom seeds or open pollinated seeds. That is the best way. Now you're thinking, when you start buying that kind of stuff, now you're thinking really, really long term. And I'm talking years and even decades, if you really want to boil it right down. Because the seed that you get from those vegetables is stuff that you can save some of it, and then you can plant for the next year, and then you have basically eliminated the seed companies. Because I'm not so sure, like, even stuff I sell right now, some of it is heirloom. I probably half of it is heirloom, and you can do that kind of thing with the seed out of it. But, you know, like, I don't know, like, these main box stores, you really got to know what you're looking at in order to buy those kind of seeds. But you just need to think about that for next year. Not just this year, but for next year. You know, because, you know, we don't really know how long this is going to go. We don't, you know, you just, the future is just so uncertain right now. I really don't know what position to take. I do think it's a game of positioning, but, you know, I just don't know. It's just, it's crazy times. And, it's times like we've never seen before. And, you know, it's exciting, maybe a little bit intimidating at times, but, you know, we have the right God. We have the creator of this world. And now is definitely the time to, you know, if you miss that Passover, take it very seriously. Do the do-over date. Because it could very well be coming. And get your thinking caps on and how you're going to get through this. And, you know, you just don't know. Because with the Bible, we know the Bible says it's coming. The rough times are coming. So, you know, be repented up and communioned up and get your thinking caps on. I guess that's what I'm thinking at this moment.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. Morning.
Morning, Bill.
And this is from the heart of Babylon, or Chicago. Or maybe some other part of the body. I think the heart of Babylon is probably in New York or Washington, D.C. But there is something to this, and I had the opportunity to talk to people who worked in the there's something to this, and there's some permanent damage to be done, and there are certain populations that are more vulnerable. Infants under two, and then, you know, old people with pre-existing conditions. And even some of the younger people are coming out with some permanent lung damage and stuff like that. But, you know, and I'm really big on taking precautions. You know, you're taking precautions and my taking precautions. But this is planned, and this is a war. This is Babylon's war on us. This is our Babylonian government, you know. Did it come from the laboratory in Wuhan, or did it come from Fort Detrick, Maryland? Answer is yes.
Yes.
You know, and they've been, you know, even if you read the garbage news that we get, supposedly that little devil Fauci has warned about this sort of thing back in November, and intelligence was warning about it back in November. Yeah, of course they're warning about it. They're in on it, you know. And this is being used as an excuse for just total control and martial law. Where are you going? What are you going to buy? You know, we're going to decide what you're going to do, where you're going to go, who you will see, you know, whether you'll assemble or not, you know, and basically, and, you know, just to keep you from handling that filthy cash, we're going to provide you with some digital money here, you know. And there are a lot of places that are not taking it, you know. And, you know, of course, being in the middle of the city, now I'm seeing why God was not big on cities. Because all of this, you know, grow your own food and things like that, well, good luck. Unless you want to do microgreens or something like this. But they're talking about a council, you know. Donald Trump and all his garbage advisors are going to get together and decide what they're going to do about it. And it disturbs me that, you know, one man, you know, our little pygmy dyke of a mayor can say, you know, well, you can't do this, and we're closing this, and we're closing that. But I went and got a haircut because I take my personal hygiene seriously. Well, you bag, you know. My hair is longer than it's been in 10 years, and I'm waiting for my clippers to come in the mail. You know,
right?
You know, and you know, even Donald Trump saying, "Well, I will. This is the biggest decision I will make." Well, you're going to make a decision about where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do. And there's this big council Tuesday, so I think, you know, my prayer is that, Lord, you know, send confusion into their camp. This is a plan. This is planned for a long time and planned well, planned on all fronts, and just destroy them and send confusion into their camp and open the people's eyes, Lord. You know, I mean, you know, maybe that character that you consider our boy, whether he's at local, national, state level or what, maybe he's not. And if he's in this Babylonian government, there's a good chance that he's not. And open our eyes and confound them and strike them down and make our obedience complete, Lord. Let our obedience be complete so that you can clobber these people. And I ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend, Jesus the Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks. Good morning.
Okay. God bless. Well, it's evident the people that have some eyes to see, they are, they see what's going on. We, like you said, Zach, may not have a full understanding, and we don't. How many times have we said? How many times have we heard that they play chess? We play checkers, but. We can go to his word. Isaiah 43 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you." When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. And I think all three of those, we can think back to other Bible stories where, and even forward to the cross, where God did this very thing. He redeemed His people. And His people passed through the waters and through the rivers and through the fire. And I think that it's reviewed here for us to remember that hey, when things come, when perilous times come, like we see, and that it may be more perilous coming, like you mentioned, Zach, who knows what's coming in the future. Our God is there with us. It doesn't mean things are going to be like they were last year. But for those that that love Him, that obey Him, that serve Him, that have come out of her, my people, these promises are there. Let's go back to the phone line. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Tom from New Jersey.
Good morning, Tom.
When I woke up on April 2nd after Passover, the Lord put on my heart the word swindle. I looked up swindle in my Webster's 1828 dictionary, and it said cheat and defraud, grossly or with deliberate artifice. Artifice comes from the word artificial. As to swindle a man out of his property. Artifice, a stratagem, an artful or ingenious device in a good or bad sense. In a bad sense, with trick or fraud. Had to look up stratagem. Stratagem, an artifice, particularly in war, a plan or scheme for deceiving an enemy. Any artifice, a trick by which some advantage is intended to be obtained. And that's what the Lord put on my heart that morning when I woke up on April 2nd. And I sat on it for a while thinking, well, maybe that's not good information. Maybe I'm wrong. But it seems to me that this is, in fact, a swindle used to defraud us out of our everything. Liberty, food, life, everything. And I think we have to wake up to the fact that we're being lied to, that this whole thing is artificial. Yes, it may have come out of Wuhan. Yes, it may have come out of Port Detroit. But it's not working. A lot of people are recovering from this. Their plan was to, like, destroy us, have millions of people dead and dying. And it's not happening. The Lord is saving us. But we have to wake up to the fact that, Lord, the Lord is saving us. And we're not getting sick. I don't know how you feel. I feel great. My wife feels great. Everybody I know feels great. So a lot of people are not falling for this. But I did say back in Branson about this medical marijuana. Medical marijuana will get your lungs. And that's what they're going after with this thing. And I know in New Jersey, they kept pushing everything in the newspapers to pass legislation to make marijuana legal. And I was like, this is not right. That stuff is evil, and they're pushing it on us for a reason. And I think that part of the reason is to weaken our lungs, so when this thing came down, we would really succumb to it. And I just don't see it happening, and I don't want to see it happen. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you so much, and I love you guys dearly. Bye-bye.
All right, Tom. God bless. Thank you, sir. Well, there you have it. There you have
it.
Well,
I guess if we really sit, if we really step back and see the state of the nation and really examine why things are the way they are, we, especially this ministry, knows because of the mountains of sin that this nation has committed as a whole. And if there wasn't a time to repent, that now is the time. There's always time, that you always, any time is the time to repent. But, you know, people really should examine their lives and study the law of God and see where they failed and really repent of their actions. You know, I, and now you know, I have an, I'm on Sunday mornings, I'm not with, like, I'm not watching the ministry. I'm trying to do mission work at the local Church of Christ here. And the thing that I find that is all or not only there, and maybe even, you know, even in my life, is you have a, people naturally have a self-preservation. And the thing of it is, like, what does Jesus say? He who loses his life will gain it, and who tries to save his life will lose it. And people have this tendency, like, why do they become a Christian? Because they don't want to pay the consequences of their sin. You know? Well, now, as I've grown and matured, I've realized it's not about me. It's about my children and my grandchildren that do not exist yet. It's about my neighbor. It's about the community. It's about the future of this nation. You know, it ain't about me. You know, and I would like to, I hope a lot of people are starting to get that mentality, because like in Romans chapter 1, it talks about how self-centered people become. And it's not, and it's like, no, if they, people need to be under, need to understand, if they sin, not only is it against you personally, then that affects everything around you. It affects the lives of everybody out there. Like, no, will that person next to you, you know, pay for your sin, like, by burning in house? No. But you have to deal with the curses that are here on the land and the political climate, because that's where all the political climate is, because of sin. Okay? Christianity just isn't dying and going to heaven. Christianity is a political point of view. We had a man hanging on the cross that died for our political point of view. That's the other half of Christianity. And we need to understand that. And the Christians have lost that. They're all 501c3. They're all 501c3. They say, oh no, the government's above us. You know, we get this tax. We don't get to get taxed, and we get this special land title. You know, it's ridiculous. And that's where the problem lies. It's the spiritual condition of the people. It's the spiritual condition of the churches. And I try to, it sucks being the only guy that's, you know, in a 501c3 trying to say that, trying to convince people that. But, you know, God is the only one that can bring them to that repentance.
Zach, it's,
I don't know.
Absolutely. Zach, it's great. It's great to hear you planting those seeds. You know, that's what we do. We plant those seeds, and boy, you are being the Johnny Appleseed and out there putting them in, that's for sure. And what a great example to the remnant, and what a great work. Boy, you know that feeling. We read about that. You know, how many times do we read that? Lord, am I the only one? Lord, am I the only one out here? You know, me against the world, me against the 400 Baal priests, me against this. We read that throughout the scriptures, and sometimes it seems that way.
That's not the motivation, because I understand
sure.
The whole thing goes down.
Right.
And you know, like the last time I'll just give you an example. The last time that our church met, I mean, I thought, I was telling them, like, this is great. I'm like, all these other guys, they're not meeting. They're not getting the collection plate. I hope they go broke. Because let's face it, they're nothing but spiritual killers.
Yeah.
You know, they understand that. You know, I don't know if we really want them to go broke. You know, I mean, that wouldn't be very nice. Well, no, this is a fight for our nation. This is a fight for Jesus' kingdom, for our King's kingdom. And I always think it's a great time to fight spiritually. I'm always in that mode.
Yes.
I think it's awesome. So.
Amen. Amen. Well, we read it earlier, Isaiah 26, the second part of verse 9. When the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Now, they might not have learned it yet, but they will. They will. It goes on and says, the wicked doesn't learn righteousness. But, you know, it seems like it's like in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the wall, that the people that were doing God's work, they didn't know. They didn't know they were, supposed to love their neighbors themselves. They'd lost that. They didn't know they were, you know, what are they accused of charging usury to their brethren to the point to put them in the poorhouse. They didn't know. And the prophet prophesies against his people who were doing his work, saying, hey, you're doing this wrong. And they repented. It was mentioned about that earlier, about repentance. There's a lot of repentance that needs to go on in this nation. Yeah, there's some things that are going good. There's some things, there's people that are helping out neighbors and helping out less fortunate and doing things like that. But that doesn't make you righteous. That doesn't grant you salvation. That doesn't redeem you or save you from your sins. It's a start. But we have to get back to His Word. I think it was Nehemiah. I don't have my Bible open there, but I want to say it was Nehemiah 8:8 that they found the Word, and that's what they did. They read the law, and they read His Word. It was one of the ways that they came back, because they had forgotten it, and that's how so many of our people are. They've thought that being a Christian is something different than what it is. And there is repentance and obedience that is needed to be, guess what? To abide in the shadow of the Almighty, right? To dwell in the shelter of the Most High that this Psalm 91 offers. Those promises, that protection. For the plague to not come to your tent, for 1,000 to fall here and 10,000 at your other hand, for that to happen and it not to come unto you, you can't just be out there the mugwump, sitting on the fence, loving life. Oh man, we've loved life and focused on investments and getting ahead and what's good for me and ignoring the Word and God and the other things, and just thinking that that you're going to claim those promises and that they're going to work for you. If you don't dwell in the shelter and abide in Him and Him abide in you, according to the Word of God, not according to what you think, not according to what that pastor told you on Sunday, or not according to how grandma was for all her life. Nope, not according to any of that, according to the Word of God. That is what decides this. That is what keeps those things back. You know, in the Passover, if you didn't put blood on the doorpost and in the lintel, the death angel stopped by for a visit. And that was not a good visit. You had to do what the Bible said. You had to do what God said to do. And it's no different today.
Yeah, we definitely have to uphold the Word of God and live it and believe it and promote it. That's the only way out of this. That is the only way out of this.
Amen.
That's the way I see it. And just when you have a Judeo-Christian society out there that believes that 3/4 of the Bible was done away with, you know, then God can bring it in. And like when you see these type of things happening, you know, we're supposed to rejoice. You know, when you see these things, that we're rejoice because. What does that tell us? We know our redemption is coming, is close.
Yes.
And so, you know, then God got people's attention. Maybe that's when we're really going to come in and start, and people will have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, you know. God will get their attention. And there's, you know, like we were talking about, like everyone's like, what's this? What's that? What's going on here? And like, this doesn't really seem to be what's going on in the media and this and that. And everybody knows that everyone's lying and they don't know what to believe. Well, you can believe the Bible, the Word of God. That is what you can believe.
Yes.
And I don't care if it's on what chapter you're in, that's the way it is.
Yep.
You know? And it'd do a lot of churches good to know the story of Israel. And that's not even taught anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous. But, you know, and I understand people fall back on the training, you know, and it's tough to get people to get away from their training. That's one of the main things that I've learned in the last few months. So, you know, you gotta be tough. You simply have to be tough.
Yes.
And you gotta know that God's on your side.
Amen. Well, Remnant, got time for maybe one more phone call?
I decided about was, like you were talking, Zach, and like we're going to be talking, and I look forward to playing this video in the next couple of weeks, but You know, I think it's an answer to Second Chronicles 7:14 too. I know that your practices and your garden and your farming and what you're doing has changed, as so has mine. And you know, it was we were looking for answers. We were praying for answers. And you know, it's and the about it is even the people that God's brought into our life and we've been able to learn from give God all the credit to it. You know, and
yes.
God had to bring them down real low before they learned the lessons that were before them, and they wouldn't have learned it if it wasn't for God teaching them.
Amen.
Couldn't have said it any better, Jason. You really couldn't have, because that man's story is God brought him down low, and he did, and like when you listen to him speak, because I actually had the opportunity to listen to him speak a few weeks ago live, and you know, that was one of the things that really, really caught my attention. It wasn't that he was successful. He was giving the glory to God. Now, does he believe everything the way Pastor Peter has taught us? I don't know. Probably not. But he was smart enough to understand that it was God that brought him down, and it was God that taught him techniques and the way things really do operate.
Yes.
And he is thankful that he almost lost everything, because now, and he didn't, he's a lot like Joseph, I guess. Even though he had a lot of bad things happen to him that really wasn't his fault, he didn't sin. Because I don't think, that's one of the great things about Joseph. He never sinned. And Joseph got brought to a very high level. Same thing with this man in this industry. And, he's whooping everybody. And, he gives all the glory to God, because he understands he doesn't need to know, and God can do a better job than he can. Is that about the best way to put it, Jason?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Amen. That I like how you put that. That, you know, you don't have to understand all of it, right? The kingdom, Jesus describes the kingdom, you know, that you have to accept it like a child accepts. A child doesn't understand, exactly why you don't want him to touch the stove. Exactly why you want him to eat all his vegetables, exactly why you tell him to do stuff, because you're the dad and you know better, and the child obeys, okay, and things work out well, and our God is the same way. You don't have to understand it all, he says, just believe that, like you said, Zach, lose yourself, lose your life so you can gain it. How does that work? How can I put that together on a flow chart and understand that you're not going to? But it's how it is. It is. And it's, you know, when you become a servant, when you serve others, you put others first, you love your neighbors yourself, you do these things, it doesn't come under your tent. The plague and the bad. And some people do believe it and some people don't. It is that way. It just is that way. Well, Zach, let me ask you: Is your group there at that little church? Are they still meeting, or have the? I know Michigan's come under another, stay-at-home quarantine directive. So, didn't know if you guys were still meeting with a few people there or not.
No, they're not meeting. The last 2 weeks I've actually been listening to you guys on Sunday morning, so, which, you know, it's a good break, I guess. It is a good break, and I really enjoyed it. But no, they are not at this point right now.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I guess the numbers are going up, so, you know, they're all 70 to 80 years
right.
old. There's a few young people, but
wow. Well, brother, we keep you in our prayers, and we are excited about the work that you're doing, And it's again, it's seeds being planted. There's I know there's other people seeing it and rejoicing in it, and it is. It's an investment in the future. It is those, just like you mentioned earlier. You know, it's the farmer and putting the seed in the ground and having that faith in the harvest. That it will bring forth good fruit. Well, guys, we're all but out of time. Just want to invite you, Remnant, to join us in church tomorrow. Whether your governor has shut your state down or not, you can join us regardless. And that's how many of the Remnant have always joined us. And that's on the internet at scripturesforamerica.org. And starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, you can click on the live video stream. Just go to the website, and it's right there on the upper left-hand corner, and click on the live video stream and join us. We'll talk about some of these things and a little review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit message everyone I see, it seems like it is just right out of today's headlines. It is so applicable. It really is. Looking forward to John. Jonathan will have a live message tomorrow. Looking forward to that. We'll partake of communion. And so you can obey the directive of not forsaking the assembly. And so we encourage you, Remnant, to do that, to join us there. And, well, men, thanks. And we'll see you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off,
they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
For the Lord, that train's a-leavin'.
Travel on. I played around in Babylon too long. My race is almost gone. I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I gotta travel on.